You're listening to I've Got Nothing to Talk About, How to Work with Tight-Lipped Clients, written by Janina Fisher, Britt Rathbone, Steve Shapiro, and Kirsten Lynn Seal, and read by an AI-generated voice. Challenges with clients come in all shapes and sizes. Some clients are so chatty, you can't get a word in edgewise, not to mention a helpful therapeutic suggestion. Others are consistently grumpy or invariably nervous. But one of the most common issues any type of client might present is when they sit down for a session and announce, "I have nothing to talk about today." You may know how to work with depression, anxiety, anger, and grief, but how do you work with nothing? What do you do when your insightful questions, expert techniques, and earnest attempts to connect elicit only shrugs? Let's be honest. Sometimes 50 minutes with these clients feels like pulling teeth. Fortunately, there are ways to make headway with clients who have nothing to talk about. There are ways to jumpstart conversation, do deep work, and make your time together less painful. To find out how, we consulted a few seasoned experts who've been in this quagmire and found their way out of it. Read on to see how DBT expert Britt Rathbone, international trauma expert Janina Fisher, experiential dynamic therapy teacher, and a founding member of the AEDP Institute Steve Shapiro, and MFT and ethics professor Kirsten Lynn Seal take on this issue. Section 1. Welcoming the client's two sides. International trauma treatment expert Janina Fisher, author of Transforming the Living Legacy of Trauma, says that when a traumatized client declares, "I have nothing to talk about," the therapist needs to pay close attention. She notes, "What they're really saying is, don't make me talk about it. I'm afraid I'll start to feel overwhelmed. I usually laugh when I hear, I have nothing to talk about. Then I say, would you tell me if you did have something to talk about? Or does nothing to talk about mean there's nothing you want to talk about? Then I'll laugh again gently to communicate that there's no judgment attached to their fear of talking about painful emotions. Fisher says she also reassures clients that there's never any pressure to talk or bring an issue to therapy. It's fine not to have an agenda. I'll ask, what would you not want to talk about? Let's start there. That way, I'll know to what to avoid. She adds that it can be tempting to disengage in these moments, to join clients in their passive resistance. You might feel like saying, well then, why did you come? But over time, I've learned that I have nothing to talk about implies an internal struggle. Part of the client wanted to come, that's why she's here, and part of her didn't want to come and definitely didn't want to take down her guard. The therapist's job is to welcome both the reluctant part that has nothing to say and the part that wants my help and connection. I do that by saying, well, thank you so much for coming anyway, and my thanks to the part of you that let you come. That was very generous. Or I might joke, many people would love to change places with you because they have too much to talk about and not enough time. They'd love to have nothing to talk about. Or I'll ask them, how does nothing to talk about feel? Does it feel liberating or numb or fuzzy? Fisher says she had a client who, for 2 years, began every session by sitting down and saying, I didn't want to come today, and I have nothing to talk about. They'd always manage to engage by the end of the session, and when Fisher asked, with some trepidation, do you want to make another appointment? The client would look indignant and say, of course I want another appointment. Did I give you reason to doubt that? Section 2. Empowering the client. Clinical psychologist Steve Shapiro, a certified experiential dynamic therapy teacher and a founding member of the AEDP Institute, says, engagement is difficult for all human beings, but for those with a trauma history, it can feel like being invited to touch a hot stove. In therapy, he explains, not only do clients learn about how they relate, but also about how their long-standing emotional patterns like avoidance can be enacted without their awareness. If we accused a client of being unmotivated, she'd most likely say that for reasons unbeknownst to her, she just can't think of anything to talk about. And she might be right. After all, motivation is intentional. Resistance is unintentional. Although it might be tempting to think there's intent behind the client's resistance, this could create a polarizing dynamic that keeps her conflict buried and perpetuates her suffering. But if, with our help, she sees the internal conflict, then we empower her to make a choice between that resistance and the healthy alternative. Shapiro says that even if clients say they don't have much to talk about in therapy, it's important to remember that the simple fact that they showed up reveals motivation in and of itself. He explains, the therapist could make this explicit by saying something like, you don't know what to talk about, and you came here to take a more active role in getting your needs met. At this point, the therapist can allow her to struggle with that in silence and have her response guide the next intervention. Section 3. Exploring the silence. Over nearly 4 decades of practice, dialectical behavior therapy expert Britt Rathbone has seen his fair share of tight-lipped clients while working with young clients and their families. The co-author of Parenting a Teen Who Has Intense Emotions, Rathbone says he likes to remember that behavior always makes sense in the context in which it occurs. When a client says they have nothing to talk about, Rathbone says his goal is to get clear on what's factoring into their silence or lack of direction. Assessing whether it's an angry silence, an unmotivated silence, or a hopeless silence is a good starting point. To get there, he first asks the client how they felt about coming to the session. Was there a conflict with someone on the way? Is our time together taking the place of something else they'd rather be doing? Are they upset with me or the therapy itself? Whatever comes up, Rathbone says it's important to validate that feeling. For instance, with a teen who'd rather be anywhere but his office, he suggests saying something like, "It makes sense you don't want to talk today, given that you're irritated you're here instead of hanging out with your friends." Rathbone says that when his adolescent clients come in saying they have nothing to talk about, which is often, it's an opportunity to teach effective ways of communicating and solving problems. If we can explore their silence or lack of topics with real patience, understanding, and compassion, he says, then we're also modeling valuable communication and problem-solving skills for them while getting the therapy unstuck. For someone whose treatment has been working well enough that they're questioning whether to continue therapy or they've run out of steam, Rathbone suggests saying something like, "I get it. You resolved the main issue that brought you here, and it isn't clear what to do next." At these junctures, Rathbone says it's helpful to explore therapy goals. Maybe we're off track and need to refocus or reestablish goals that still have relevance. Or maybe we're done, and that's okay. Our aim is to put ourselves out of business with clients, and when, with our guidance, they run out of problems to solve, then we've succeeded. Section 4, Rolling with the Punches. Kirsten Lynn Seal, a licensed marriage and family therapist with a background in musical theater, stand-up comedy, and television, says that clients who say they have nothing to talk about often fall into one of 4 categories. The first category, she says, consists of those who are simply unsure what therapy entails. Lynn Seal says when her clients say, "I don't know what to talk about," that's her cue to do some psychoeducation about the therapy process. The second category, she says, is clients who tend to be shy or less comfortable with open-ended conversations. Such was the case with her client Alan, who started therapy by telling her, "You'll have to ask me specific questions, otherwise I won't get anywhere. I do my best to roll with the punches," Lynn Seal says, "and always have plenty of questions at the ready. I always try to make a note of the last topic we covered in the last session, and then mention it first thing in the next session." With Alan, she looked at her notes and said, "So shall we keep talking about your relationship with your father?" And they were off to the races. Lynn Seal says she also finds books to be helpful in jumpstarting conversation. 2 of her favorites are Viktor Frankl's Man's Search for Meaning and Melody Beattie's Codependent No More. Going through these books chapter by chapter together and discussing what comes up as we move along can help deepen therapeutic conversation, she says. If clients declare they have nothing to talk about during the middle of their work in therapy, Lynn Seal believes they may be dealing with something else. They're holding on to something they're unwilling or too nervous to divulge. As for clients who've been in therapy for a long time, by the time they say they have nothing to talk about, she says it's usually a sign that therapy is coming to an end. A good way to check is to say something like, "Maybe we're coming to the end of our work together. Do you think that might be why it feels like you have nothing to talk about today?" The client's response, she says, will tell you a lot. One of my clients exclaimed, "Oh my God, no! Are you dumping me?" Clearly, we were not done. But other clients I've asked have said, "Yeah, I think so. Is that bad? I'll miss you, but I think we might be done. Ending therapy usually means that things are going better. I like to tell clients, it's my job to get you to eventually fire me. I have nothing to say can mean a variety of things, Lynn Seal concludes. But in my experience, therapists just need to decide whether to explain, guide, challenge, or close, and the conversation will flow from there. You've just listened to I've Got Nothing to Talk About, How to Work with Tight-Lipped Clients, written by Janina Fisher, Britt Rathbone, Steve Shapiro, and Kirsten Lynn Seal, and read by an AI-generated voice. Ready for more? Unlock additional articles and exclusive content at psychotherapynetworker.org.